Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Spring Talk. We asked our portfolio managers for a quick pulse check of the markets as we head into 2026. Starting with our fixed income portfolio managers, we've got a great overview of both the challenges and opportunities to be found in bond markets this year. Whether it's navigating rate volatility or uncovering value from muni bonds to European high yield, let's see what they have to say. First up, we have Nick Menditti, Allspring's head of municipal fixed income, as he explains why 2026 could be a bright year for munis.
As we move into 2026 and start thinking about the municipal bond market, it's worth looking back at 2025 and some of the volatility we experienced. Obviously, 2025 was a rough year for munis. Almost all of that volatility was concentrated in three very difficult days in April. I've been joking with clients all year that I felt like I lived three entire investment careers in a span of 72 hours. The good news, though, for muni investors is that on a go-forward basis, the future looks incredibly bright. It looks incredibly bright because munis are yielding a lot. And if you are in the upper echelons of the tax bracket, that tax-exempt yield is incredibly powerful and will likely be a gigantic driver of total returns in 2026. Maybe more importantly than that, though, is that there are some strong relative reasons to be considering the municipal bond market right now. Number one, we live in an uncertain world. That uncertainty is almost certainly going to create disruptions in the credit landscape. And as you know, and as I know, munis tend to be better credits, right? The revenue streams tend to be stronger, and that will act as insulation to some degree for investors' portfolios. In addition to that, muni to treasury ratios, muni to AA industrial ratios, muni to whatever ratios you care about look a lot more attractive, which should give investors a lot of comfort using today or the rest of this year as a potential entry point. 2026 is almost certainly going to be an exciting year for all asset classes. I think munis in particular are going to do quite well.
Now we'll hear from Janet Rilling, head of Allspring's Plus Fixed Income team, highlighting the four key themes she sees shaping 2026.
As we look back on 2025, it was a year that's been characterized by widespread market uncertainty, but also surprisingly good returns in the bond market. Bond market returns were driven not only by attractive levels of income, but also spread tightening and yields that declined. As we turn the calendar to 2026, we find ourselves still in a pretty uncertain environment. Not only are we just starting to get data after coming through a data vacuum, it's at a time that the Fed has highlighted elevated risks to both sides of its dual mandate, stable prices, and full employment. As we invest our portfolios, we'll be watching four primary themes in 2026. The first is stimulus. We're seeing stimulus coming from three primary sources: monetary, regulatory, and fiscal. Secondly, we'll be monitoring the high levels of deficits that are occurring globally that will be need to funded in the fixed income markets. Third, we'll be watching corporate debt supply that's needed to supply capital expenditure projects in places like data infrastructure and AI projects. And lastly, we'll be monitoring the growing risk in the private credit markets.
Next up is Sarah Harrison, a senior PM specializing in European high yield for the Plus Fixed Income team, breaking down some of the upcoming dynamics for 2026.
When I left to go on maternity leave in February, European high yield spreads were in the high 200s. When I got back in September, European high yield spreads were, you guessed it, in the high 200s. That being said, as we all know, this year has been anything but uneventful. Looking forward to 2026, three key themes will shape how we think about our European high yield exposure. Firstly, our aversion to subordinated risk remains. An era of less stringent underwriting standards is finally being put to the test now that rates have not been zero for several years. In our view, this will be felt more acutely in private markets than in public markets, but will still have an impact on public markets, particularly in over-levered multi-level capital structures. Secondly, opacity is an indicator for the potential of future financial distress. There is a lot of talk about cockroaches. ESG may not be in vogue, but this is all about the G, governance. Financial engineering and creative accounting are not new concepts, and we value transparency and simplicity, particularly in this compressed market. Finally, we look to generate alpha by identifying companies which will move from the core to the tail and vice versa. It's not about fallen angels and rising stars for 2026. It's about the core and the tail. The core being your double Bs and high single Bs with spreads of sub 300 basis points, and the tail being your stressed triple C credit with spreads of 700 basis points plus. The core looks very expensive, while the tail looks very cheap. Performance in European high yield over the course of 2026 may be augmented by correctly identifying which of the core will move into the tail and which of the tail will move back into the core.
To round out our fixed income outlook, Malik Bensali, co-head of our core fixed income team, discusses the tension between inflation and labor markets.
2025 has thrown a lot at us, from tariffs to a major fiscal bill, from a boom in AI spending to the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. The markets and the economy have weathered a lot, and they've come through pretty resilient. As we head into 2026, we think there are two themes that are going to be important for high-quality fixed income markets. The first is the tension between sticky inflation and a weaker labor market, and how that's going to resolve. Is the Fed going to be comfortable continuing to cut rates? And if they don't, is the consumer going to hold up? We do think ultimately the labor market will win out on that one, but that's not a foregone conclusion, and there's going to be a lot of interest rate volatility as a result. Second is how much capacity do credit markets have to keep funding this explosion in AI CapEx? And not only that, but how much capacity do they have to fund the increase we expect in M&A activity going forward? Right now, credit markets are open and receptive, but there's a limit to that, and we think that that's going to create some volatility going forward. The only thing we know for sure heading into 2026 is that volatility is going to remain a constant. This is a time to look for opportunities not just in credit, but across mortgages and securitized products as well. It's a time to stay liquid and up in quality. You want to be nimble and be able to play offense when opportunities arise.
Now let's shift gears to our equity PMs as they share their thoughts on key sectors and trends. From AI bubbles to CapEx cycles, here's what they're watching in 2026. First up from the equity side is Mike Smith, Allspring's head of growth equity, reflecting on an eventful 2025 and why this next year could bring historic opportunities.
2025 has been a wild ride, from the panic lows in April around Liberation Day to the euphoric highs in October. We've seen a lot, we've learned a lot. The market made steady gains in unsteady ways. Entering 2026, the market is top heavy again. The 10 largest companies in the Russell 1000 growth are 60% of the index. I get asked every day, is AI a bubble? I don't think so. I think all the CapEx will lead to adoption. I think the adoption will lead to revenue. And I think the revenue will create an opportunity for a broadening out that could be historic in nature. What should investors do? Diversify. Look for the opportunities in small and mid-cap growth. Look for the next big winners. There's a lot of opportunity ahead, and I'm excited to see what 2026 will bring.
Next, we have Derek Irwin, co-head of our Intrinsic Emerging Markets Equity Team, as he explains why 2026 could be a breakout year for EM.
After outperforming the S&P 500 and the broader developed market indices through most of 2025, investors are wondering, can emerging markets continue to rally into 2026? We think the answer is yes for three reasons. First, many emerging market economies are poised to continue to cut rates as inflation falls, and this should spur economic growth. Second, we think markets will normalize around tariff noise that created volatility in 2025. And third, we think that earnings will accelerate and broaden across countries and across sectors. So as we move into 2026, we are looking for artificial intelligence and some of the rallies in North Asia that drove the markets in 2025 to continue, but also to be joined from countries like Indonesia, South Africa, and potentially Latin America. From a sector standpoint, we're also looking at consumer names. We're looking at select financials as well as materials. So we think it's shaping up to be a very positive year for 2026 in emerging markets.
Now, John Campbell, head of Allspring's Systematic Core Equity Team, explores the potential for hitting peak passive in 2026.
2025, what a wild ride in the stock market. All the themes that transpired between tariffs, the Fed, and also the dominance of AI. But what I want to talk to you about is what happened with a number of factors. It was a historic year for the beta factor, with a dramatic drawdown in February and March, followed by a historic rally as investors tried to put on more risk. Momentum continued a multi-year run of very strong performance. However, quality was left behind this year as investors really focused on the higher risk names to try to take advantage of the rally. So 2026, what do we expect? This is a year that we are calling for peak passive. It's been called for many times, but there is a historic concentration in the market, with the top 10% of the S&P representing almost 40% of the market cap, and the valuation disparities have become more extreme. Next year, we think there are several catalysts that could actually result in a broadening of the market. Number one, we're going to see some continuation of the rate cutting cycle. We also have a number of fiscal stimulus measures, from lower taxes to CapEx incentives. So this could be the year where the earnings growth gap starts to close between the small and mid caps and international stocks with the mega cap companies in the US. However, we are at extreme valuations, so investors really do need to pay attention to the risks that they're taking. So a comprehensive risk management framework will be essential in 2026.
To wrap up, Bryant Van Cronkite, co-head of our special global equity team, discusses how to position portfolios going into 2026.
All right, what a year 2025 was, and people keep asking, are the economy and the markets dislocated? Markets have gone higher, but the economy also has a lot of great drivers. When I think about 2026, I'm excited about the Fed cutting rates and providing monetary stimulus into the economy. I'm excited about the tax optimization around the one big beautiful bill that's still rolling through in 2026. And I'm excited about the CapEx cycle that's not going to slow down for quite a while. So the economy looks really good heading into 2026. That does not mean the market's going to go on a straight line. Look for pullbacks as markets digest the transition we're going through, digest the cycle. That's not a reason to be scared. It's a reason to be careful. And as you're carefully thinking about where to invest, think about moving up the quality scale. Think about who's going to win the next phase of this market, who's going to benefit from the tax opportunities, who's going to benefit from the next cycle of CapEx spending. If you think and invest wisely around that, the market's pullback shouldn't be a concern to you. Should be an opportunity for you. Have fun in 2026.
We just covered a lot of ground, but whether you tuned in for insights on munis or emerging markets, or stayed for AI opportunities, or how to navigate shifting interest rates, we hope this helps you kick off 2026 with confidence. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time on Spring Talk.
Visit allspringglobal.com to receive more market insights and investment perspectives from Allspring Global Investments. To hear the latest from our thought leaders on the ever-changing investment landscape, you can subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening and joining us on the road to investing elevated.
This material is provided for informational purposes only and is intended for retail public distribution in the United States. Use outside the United States is for professional qualified investors only. This content and the information within do not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where or to any person to whom it would be unauthorized or unlawful to do so, and should not be considered investment advice, an investment recommendation, or investment research in any jurisdiction. Investment risks. All investments contain risk. Your capital may be at risk. The value, price, or income of investments or financial instruments can fall as well as rise, and is not guaranteed. You may not get back the amount originally invested. Past performance is not a guarantee or reliable indicator of future results. Allspring Global Investments is the trade name for the asset management firms of Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC, a holding company indirectly owned by certain private funds of GTCR, LLC, and Reverence Capital Partners, LP. These firms include but are not limited to Allspring Global Investments Luxembourg SA, Allspring Funds Management, LLC, Allspring Global Investments, LLC, Allspring Global Investments, UK, Limited, Allspring Global Investments, Singapore, Private, Limited, Allspring Global Investments, Hong Kong, Limited, and Allspring Global Investments, Japan, Limited. Unless otherwise stated, Allspring is the source of all data, which is current or as of the date stated. Content is provided for informational purposes only. Views, opinions, assumptions, or estimates are not necessarily those of Allspring or their affiliates, and there is no representation regarding their adequacy, accuracy, or completeness. They should not be relied upon and may be subject to change without notice. Investment strategies that do not explicitly pursue an investment strategy that considers environmental, social, and governance ESG characteristics in the assessment or selection of investments may still consider ESG-related factors when evaluating a security for purchase, but are not prohibited from purchasing or continuing to hold securities that do not meet specified ESG criteria. Beta measures measures fund volatility relative to general market movements. It is a standardized measure of systematic risk in comparison with a specified index. The benchmark beta is one by definition. Beta is based on historical performance and does not represent future results. The ratings indicated are from Standard & Poor's and/or Moody's Investor Service. Credit quality ratings. Credit quality ratings apply to corporate and municipal bond issues. Standard & Poor's rates the creditworthiness of bonds from AAA, highest, to D, lowest. Standard & Poor's rates the creditworthiness of short-term notes from SP1, highest, to SP3, lowest. Ratings from A to CCC may be modified by the addition of a plus or minus sign to show relative standing within the rating categories. Moody's rates the creditworthiness of bonds from AAA, highest, to C, lowest. Ratings AA to B may be modified by the addition of a number 1, highest, to 3, lowest, to show relative standing within the ratings categories. Moody's rates the creditworthiness of short-term U.S. tax-exempt municipal securities from MIG1/VMIG1, highest, to SG, lowest. Credit quality and credit quality ratings are subject to change. The Russell 1000 Growth Index measures the performance of those Russell 1000 companies with higher price-book ratios and higher forecasted growth values. You cannot invest directly in an index. The S&P 500 index consists of 500 stocks chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. It is a market-valuated index with each stock's weight in the index proportionate to its market value. You cannot invest directly in an index. Alpha measures the excess return of an investment vehicle, such as a mutual fund, relative to the return of its benchmark, given its level of risk, as measured by beta. Alpha is based on historical performance and does not represent future results. CFA and Chartered Financial Analyst are trademarks owned by CFA Institute. Diversification does not ensure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. 100 basis points equals 1%. Copyright 2025 Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC. All rights reserved.